It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, yeah, what's up, what's up? This is DJ Kume, the Beat Bully from the East, bringing you nothing but the freshest beats from the club to the streets. And I definitely am happy to be right here at Cliff Central. And today, I guess I'll be your guest host for the show. So I was busy thinking, what am I going to call today's show, or me coming to Cliff Central? And I decided to call it the Beat Bully Show. So welcome, welcome to the Beat Bully Show. Just a bit of information about myself. I am the last born, and I do have two siblings, two older brothers. So best believe I am a bit of a spoiled brat. And yeah, like I said, I'll be hosting today's afternoon slot, and definitely happy to be here. Quite an interesting story before I get into anything else. So this morning I woke up and I had to go to one of my other gigs in the morning, and you know, all excited knowing that this afternoon I'm gonna be right here at Cliff Central. And after like maybe 2 hours of being up or whatever, start feeling, you know, stomach starting to act funny. I must have made at least about 4 trips to the loo, and definitely knew that I had to kind of detox or kind of get myself together, you know. So made a plan, got home, got all that stuff together, you know, took mom's secret remedies. I think that's the quickest way to get yourself sorted. Didn't really think about maybe taking, you know, your Brooklax or your Freshens or whatever that other stuff that people like to take. And I'm not going to mention what I did, but it just know that it's one of mom's secret remedies. And you guys can just think for yourself what that was. And I eventually got myself together. So obviously I needed to prepare, get ready. Told myself I was going to be here at around, I wanted to be at least an hour early. So obviously around 11-ish, 12-ish, you know, getting my stuff prepared. And guess what I do? I go to the car to go pick up. One of my CDs, and I needed to put the key in. Now I'm in such a rush, and I'm one of those people that kind of, you know, our minds work faster than the stuff that we're doing. So I turn the key, switch the car on, get the CD out, and I just walk out. So the car key was still on and the music was still pumping. Went to go prepare for about an hour or whatever. So now I'm like looking for my bloody keys. I can't see my keys. Go to the car, see, boom, keys on the car. Cars on, music blazing. Now, soon as I saw that, I knew that this cannot be happening. This cannot be happening. Not on the day that I'll be here on Cliff Central. So now, what happened was, come to realize that the battery's flat, and you know that it's that time. It's around 10:30, 11:00. People at work. My brother's gone. My dad's gone. My mom's gone. There's no one to call. Neighbors. All cars are gone. So I knew for a fact that I had to do the last resort. And one thing I'd actually like to say is God bless and thank you, Lord, for public transport in South Africa. Just to let you guys know, this was the first taxi ride I have taken in about, I don't know, you could say about 5 years. And it was actually quite an experience. I think, obviously, I had to figure out what the signs were, because I had to catch a cab from Edenvale all the way to Alex, and then from Alex to Rivonia. So obviously getting to where people catch cabs in Edenvale, and at first I need to kind of figure out what signal is it to Alex, you know. Luckily there was these two ladies standing where I was, so I asked them, you know, how do I point to Alex? They're like, yeah, okay, do this, do that. I'm like, all right, cool. Now one cab passes, it's too full. Second cab passes, third cab passes, and then after that, obviously these ladies are still pointing like with me. I think the one lady was headed to Randburg, and her plan was to hit Joburg and then Randburg, and the other lady, I don't know where she was going. So after the third cab passes, you know these career guys, man, in these small bantam buckies, two of these guys pull over. So I'm like, okay, are they pulling over for me or are they pulling over for the ladies? So the one lady is like, yeah, okay, yeah, nyabonga, you know, so they're both. Two of them get into the separate bantam buckies, and I go to the one. I'm like, yeah, man. So this lady is like going to Alex, where I'm going, you know. So the dude's like, yeah, I know, but I'm not gonna drop off straight at Alex. So I was like, whew, okay. So this is me now waiting, pointing. Luckily, after about 5 minutes, got my cab and whew, off to Alex I was. Now, obviously, first time in a cab for about 5 years, and I must say these quantum cabs are on some other level. That was like comfortable. Okay, I wasn't really going to fall asleep, but I just wanted to say that ish was damn comfortable. So got in there, took my drive. I think I even took a selfie. Yeah, man. I took a selfie. I'm actually going to try post that up on Twitter a little bit later. I took a selfie, you know, first cab in about 5 years. And, yeah, I took a cab all the way to Alex. You know, I think everything is still the same. Because, you know, as soon as normally, well, back in the days, sorry, when I rode a cab, I remember a cab in about 95. A cab to Alex was about five rand or so, man. Like, now I had to pay 14 rand. But understandable that this cab was coming from Tembisa going straight to Alex. But I mean, the price is still kind of ridiculous. But anyways, paid the fee, had a nice drive. You know, you kind of worry that, you know, you're in a cab, you know, things are going to go bad. But no, I mean, the driver was on point. His driving was fresh. You know, if I was tired, I probably would have passed out in that cab. But I mean, I was just too excited and happy of what's going on. So went through, pulled up at Alex, and, you know, obviously people advise me, you know, Alex, you go here, catch a cab to Rivonia. So I'm like, all right, nah, cool, let's do this, you know. So I went through, I think it was at Pan Africa Mall. Went in there, got into a cab. Now, thing with cabs at Pan Africa Mall is you have got to wait until the cab gets full. And this time I'm looking at the bloody time, and I know I've got about, I think that time I must have had about 1 hour 15 minutes to get to the show. 1 hour 15 minutes to get to 2 o'clock. So I was like, all right, nah. Wait, chill, everything get chill. Luckily, the cab must have filled up in about 10 minutes. So I was like, nah, cool, let's go. Now, this is where the fun stuff started happening. I was sitting next to some old lady. Obviously, I asked her, where's this cab going, da da da. And I think after about 2 minutes, once the cab had taken off, she was passed out. And when I say passed out, I'm talking about that, like, snoring type of passed out. And I was just a little bit worried about her, you know, kind of resting ahead of my shoulder, and then I'd have to be like, yes, insist, please just kind of move out the way. But yeah, man, eventually made it, and luckily I got here at around, I think, half an hour before my show, and got prepared, and I am here and ready to kick some ass. Now, just to let you guys know, this, just to remind you again that this is my first time, so if I bust too quick, I promise to make up for it in the second round.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Alright, cool. So we're back. We're back, obviously, to have some fun, chat about some crazy stuff. But apparently, I was actually told that I was allowed one song. And I was still unsure about what this song I was going to play. Luckily, my man over here, Duncan, hooked me up. And I've still got my song coming on a little bit later on. Just to let you guys know, the song I'm going to play for you, ladies and gentlemen, is something fresh out the studio by my good friend, LeTrev. And you can catch him on Twitter at LeTrevHQ. You're going to love this one. You're really, really going to love this one. Okay, now, obviously, I've got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about relationships. We are going to be talking, yeah, man, I think mostly it's all about relationships. We're going to touch a bit on politics. I just hope that we've actually got quite enough time to go for it. Time right now is what? 15 minutes past 2. So, yeah, we've still got quite a bit. I think we've got about half an hour to get through what we need to get through. So, getting into it, apparently a recent study done by Oslo and, how do you spell this? How do you pronounce this, actually? Erkeshaw's University of Applied Science revealed that the more chores a husband does, the more likely the marriage will end in divorce. Do you hear that? The more chores a husband does in the marriage, the more likely the marriage will end in divorce. What do you guys think about that? So, just to kind of give you guys a brief overview of the whole story, whole study, they actually used a sample of 20,000 men and women. And obviously, in that sample, they discovered that 65% of the couples equally divided childcare, but not the housework. And 11% of the women were doing all or more of the work. 25% divided the work more equally. Now, my question is, with this whole childcare side of things, does this involve the fathers doing the whole diaper change thing? Because I know that's quite a big struggle for a lot of fathers in the 21st century, is the whole thing of doing diaper changes. I've actually seen quite a few videos when, like, but it was really weird. Like, the father was, like, seriously, seriously grossed out of the damage that his young kid had actually done. So, yeah, man, I don't know. What do you guys think about, obviously, fathers doing diaper changes and stuff? But one thing definitely is, so my mom is, like, very, very traditional when it comes to, like, marriage and the roles that the wife must play, the roles that the husband must play. And she'll definitely have something to say about that. But you know what they say, one thing that my one friend loves to say when it comes to mothers and decision is, mom is always, always, always right. So yeah, man, I don't know, what do you guys think about this study on the husbands that do more chores within the wedding? With those marriages, I mean, those marriages more likely to get divorced. Because I think now we've got a lot of women that are actually in business. A lot of women doing big moves, actually. Other day, I was actually in, I was in the restaurant, and I heard these two women talking about, like, massive, massive deals. You know, the one lady is like, yo, no, maybe we should think about getting 40,000. The other one's like, no, I think I can organize about 50,000, and we can make at least about $1 million. So I was like, damn, is this what we women talk about these days? I mean, like, before, obviously, one, I think you can call the person a sexist. The sexist would normally say, I'd expect women to be talking about their nails or when they're going to go for the next tan. But, yeah, man, I just want to say big ups to the ladies. And if the guy is too afraid to do chores, I think you should actually hit the dust. And a lot of the ladies in the studio are actually agreeing with me, man. Yeah, I mean, it's the 21st century. Things are changing. A whole lot of things are changing. Before you know it, you'll have the woman going to work and the husband's at home looking after the kids, doing the dishes, washing, and all of that stuff. Okay, yeah, man. So I think that was done with the first topic. About to head into the next topic. I think this is a topic that will actually touch the heart of a lot of people in South Africa and in the world. It's something that we all actually kind of experience as soon as we head out of school or we head out of our tertiary institutions. It is dealing with office politics. And that was me being silent for a moment. I just wanted to let you guys kind of think about that. And you can actually let me know what you think about that. But obviously this question goes to the 75.7% of South Africans that are actually employed. Because you do know, I think we're about the second highest unemployment rate in the world, if I'm not mistaken. So obviously this will go to all of my employed brothers and sisters, or employed ladies and gentlemen. So I know that it's definitely a touchy topic in this country. And I don't know, man, it's just everywhere you go, I've actually come to learn, because I've been in quite a few offices. I think I've done about 2 internships. Currently volunteering at another station, and I've actually kind of started to see, you know, like the kind of clashes that you go on. You know, I think that person, or I think that boss actually likes that person more, or I think this person is trying their best to kind of bring me down, or kind of destroy the work that we're doing. Now, what I really want to know is, can we really avoid office politics, or is just one of those things you kind of have to deal with? You know, like the price of petrol going up, rising costs of food, a third nipple. I don't know, you tell me. But obviously reading up on it, I came to find that there are obviously negatives and positives when it comes to office politics. So you'd have negative office politics, and I think that'll be the one when you know, you'll have that group that's always skinnering about so-and-so and da-da-da. Or you have that person who, like, never brings you the information that you need in order for you to complete the project or the task that you've been assigned to do. And, like I said, the positives in office politics, I think they're mainly just there to kind of motivate you to do better in your job. And, yeah, man, I don't know. It's just, like, one of those things that we really, really cannot go over. And just to mention again that the negative politics are actually just there to make your life a living hell. So how does one win the battle when it comes to office politics? Well, actually, I've actually got quite a few tips on how to help you overcome your office politics. And your first tip is obviously going to go a little something like this. What you do is you'll ask respected higher-ups for counsel on a regular basis So maybe if you got some questions, you know, you maybe ask like, first you'd ask someone who's like on the same level as you. But if you want to kind of earn brownie points, because I love to call it earning brownie points, you'll probably go to like a guy who's higher than your supervisor type of thing. You know, you ask like questions regarding the work that you're doing. And then obviously if this happens on a regular basis, he or she will definitely become curious and be like, you know what? I think this guy's actually kind of serious about his job. Let's see what he can do if we give him more tasks or if we give him more responsibilities. And I think that will be you kind of rising above the office politics. And then the next tip to kind of overcome office politics is perform deliberate acts of kindness. And for me, to kind of sum that up is kiss a lot of ass when you're in the office. And I know a lot of people aren't really up on that or up to that, but myself also, I'm not really much of a kiss ass. But if you know that this is when you need to kind of step up or you need that guy's point of approval, then you know you'll do your best to kind of suck up to him and obviously do stuff for him that other people won't normally do. And then I think for the last tip to kind of overcome your office politics is do visible and important tasks. So visible important tasks, I don't think this would actually go for like your, you know, you see that the trash is always full on a Sunday or Wednesday and no one actually takes initiative to kind of remove the trash. So you'll be the guy like, oh, okay, let me go and remove the trash. I don't think it's something like that. I think it's like some of the tasks that would actually scare a lot of people to do, because obviously when doing tasks, especially in the office, one would fear that, yo, what if I mess this up? Obviously, the boss will kind of notice that and will see what that I might be underperforming. But it's just one of those things. Yeah, man. So I just wanted to know, guys, what kind of office politics are you actually experiencing? What kind of office politics are you experiencing? Don't forget, guys, right now we are on cliffcentral.com and the contact details are 086-1-555-189. That is 086-1-555-189. And then on Twitter, don't forget, it is at cliffcentral.com. And on Facebook, it is Cliff Central. And the WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And don't forget to send a message on WeChat. Tap connect and then MSG to show. This is a song by my boy Latrev HQ. You can catch him on Twitter also at Latrev HQ. Look what you done to me, baby. I feel like a puppy in need of your love. Baby, that's no fair. Not just a thrill, I'm head over heels. It seems like you don't care. I feel like a puppy in need of your love. Baby, that's no fair. I think that I'm going crazy. Look what you done to me, baby. Yeah, that was my boy Latrev, all the way from the East Rand. I swear this guy's got some hot stuff coming out soon. So be sure to definitely look out for him in this coming year. Now, yeah, man, I know we're talking about office politics and keeping on the subject of politics. I do hope you guys kind of made a plan this past weekend to go and register to vote. But I'm curious on the thought. That will it ever happen that obviously when, say you've registered before and you didn't make a plan to go and register this past weekend, will it ever happen that all of a sudden when you go and vote, you find out that you're not registered? Will that ever happen? I'm not quite sure, But I'm guessing if it should happen to like one of these, you know, you got these cool South Africans and you got the hectic South Africans and then you got the patriotic South Africans. If it ever happened to one of those patriotic South Africans, I think it would be quite a sight. You see, you really want to see a South African lose his cool. Let that happen. But yeah, man, I just want to say big up to the guys from Oof, what's that organization? IEC. IEC, yeah. Big ups to the guys from the IEC on making sure that voting registrations went smoothly. And yeah, man, I've voted before. Definitely going to vote again. I think I just might go past the next chance we get to check if we're registered or not. I mean, I don't want that happening of me going there and only to realize that I actually haven't been registered to vote. So, yeah, man, kind of switching topics a bit there. Right now, I'm going to talk about a dude called Ray Tomlinson. And this is obviously the guy that was accredited for inventing the email. Yeah, so apparently this guy, I think, passed away on Sunday, I think it was. And yeah, passed away at the age of 74. And yeah, he came up with the idea of email. Came up with the idea of email in 1971. But when asked, obviously, because if you know that you've kind of invented something such as email, people would actually want to know. I think one big thing would be, what was the first email? If you're like an inventor in South Africa, and you're the guy that invented the email, what do you think the first email would be? Please order me a quota, dog, on your way back. Or maybe order me like some scop on your way back or something like that, man. Well, if he was like obviously a black dude from like Kokasi or whatever, but I think in the burbs, man, they'll be like, yo, just go past like one of these fancy restaurants or whatever, and give me some. But I think it's gotta involve food, the first email. But yeah, man. So like I said, he couldn't remember what the first email that he sent. And talking about emails or messages, it actually gets me to the topic of, have you ever sent the wrong email to someone? Have you ever sent the wrong message to someone? And when I'm talking about messages, I'm talking about, you know, you got those couples who are very intimate, not only behind closed doors, but also on social media. You know, they'll send like a little nude pic here, a little nude pic there. And then you'll be like on your WhatsApp or whatever, and you'll want to send, or the lady will want to send a boyfriend like a really hot, steamy nude, and accidentally press to mom or to dad, even worse, to your boss. What you gonna do then? I know that that actually happens quite a lot. I've never done that personally. I don't know. I'm not much of a fan of sending nudes, because I know how this whole process kind of ends up in the end. Because, you know, you guys will be lovey-dovey this year, and the next year you'll be calling each other names, and, you know, I hate this person, da da da. And what will you end up doing is probably going back and doing what we call revenge porn. And that can really, really mess up a person's life. And yeah, man, it's just like one of those things. But another thing, actually going back, not only on cell phone messages, we could actually go back to sending emails. I know the other day I had to send a very important email. And for me personally, when I'm going on email or I'm sending an email, like I said, my mind like works faster than I'm typing, or my mind is like way ahead. So at the end of the message, when I have to send the email like very, very fast, I would like type, and then after sending the message, I only realize that, you know, I might have said a phrase twice, because my mind is already thinking like, okay, I want to say this, I want to say that. And, you know, I'll have like the word the. I'll have the word like twice or three times in the email. And then I'll obviously send another email and say, apologies for that, I was in a rush, da 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 da, please forgive me. But I know like a lot of businesses have actually lost quite a bit, like maybe 5 million contracts. Just on like the boss saying, you know, okay, sending it to one of his employees and saying, you know, I don't really like working with this company because these guys are really incompetent, or da da da. And then he'll obviously send it to his employees, forgetting that he CC'd the company. That was actually a story I read about, I think it was about a week ago. I kind of forgot what the company was, but these dudes actually lost like a $5 million contract. So yeah, man, I just wanted to say, guys, just be careful on the emails and the messages you send. I mean, obviously, it's the type of mistakes that we'll normally do is having too many mistakes in your email, sending a nude to your parents, and yeah, man, just silly email blunders that, you know, you forget to put the right punctuation or dumb stuff like that. I heard that that stuff actually really, really counts, eh? So, guys, just be careful on your messages, and once again, rest in peace to Ray Tomlinson, the inventor of the email. Yeah, yeah, man, that was song of the year, I think, was it? Yeah, 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 big ups to MT. Yeah, so about to go on to the next topic, but obviously kicking off the topic, I just want to ask... I just want to ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being your best, obviously, how good will you guys rate yourself when it comes to job interviews? Yeah, I think, some of the guys here are obviously saying 3... I think myself, yeah, I think around 3-4-ish, just to kind of give myself the benefit of the doubt, I think I'll go around 5, man. Yeah, so obviously thinking about interviews and talking about interviews, what is the weirdest question that you got asked in your interview? Because I come to realize that when you go to interviews, you know, first you'd obviously, well, they want to know about you and, you know, what your... Obviously, look at your CV. So like, oh, so you used to work here. What did you do there? Why did you leave there? You know, type of stuff like that. And then they'll just like throw one of those weird questions for you. It's just like one of those things that, and this weird question will like literally throw you way off the ball. And then obviously talking about weird questions or weird questions that you get at an interview. It kind of reminds me of an interview I went to, I think it was in about 2011-ish, at this like massive radio station. And so obviously the interview was going terrible. It was like the worst interview I've ever been to. So at the end of the interview, because I know there was guys before me and guys that were meant to go after me. So guys that went before me were obviously saying that, look, they're going to hit you with like a curveball question. So I was like, okay, cool. So I just want to tell you guys this story. So this curveball question of mine, I don't know if this is going to make me sound like a really bad person, but it's just the first thing that came to my mind. And it's like a logical answer. So what this guy said is, you get sent to war, or you say like you go to war, and you know, everyone's fighting, guns, people dying, limbs falling apart, whatever, and you see a guy from the other team and he's wounded. What do you do? A guy from the other team and he's wounded, what do you do? So this is a question that I got asked at the end of the interview. Now, just to let you know, the interview was like the worst interview. Like, some of the questions I couldn't answer. I think there was a point when I actually, they asked me a question and I sat for about a minute. And then I took my phone out and the guy's like, you won't find the answer on your phone. So you can tell like I was nervous as hell. So obviously after I got asked this question, so I'm like to the guy, look, I'm at war, so I'll probably put him out of his misery. That was my answer. I don't know if that makes me like a bad person, because I've been thinking about that question like since I went to that interview. And I'm always like, you know, maybe I could have answered it like that, or answered in a different way. But so, you know, I come to think like maybe, you know, it kind of wanted me to kind of change the situation or that. But like logically, dude, you're in war and you're the guy that volunteered to go to war. And you see a guy, maybe he's got like one of his limbs broken or whatever. So you want to kind of put him out of his misery. Let the pain stop. Let his pain stop. You know what I mean? So put him out of his misery. And yeah, that was me and like my weird question. So I just wanted, we're still talking about the weird questions that you get in an interview. I just wanted to mention a couple of companies that obviously ask these weird questions. Now, this is one of a question that you get if you're going for an interview at Google. How many cows are there in Canada? Yeah, it's like, that's a Google question, man, from Google. How many cars are there in Canada? And then another question from the Bank of America. So they'll say, calculate the angle of two clock pointers when the time is 11:50? Imagine getting that question at an interview. I don't know. Would you need to like take out a protractor or something? Yeah, man. It's just some weird stuff that you normally get. Asked in an interview. And obviously, I did some reading up on it before I come to the show. And I came to the conclusion is the reason why they ask you this type of question is to see if you can think out the box and put more than just your degree or title to the table. Because, you know, like a whole lot of people could actually just come in there and say, hey, I got a master's degree, I got a diploma, I got another degree in so-and-so. But then if the person is like, you know, can't really think out the box, I don't know if he's really going to be much of a great addition to the team or the workforce that you guys have actually got in there. And then another reason why they use these type of questions is to see if your confidence level, to see your confidence level and see how you react when the unexpected arrive. Because definitely, like in your office or whatever, and you're working, you know, you get like these weird things that happen, and you guys would actually need to kind of pull together and say, okay, guys, maybe we could try this, maybe we could try that, or maybe we could do that. But that's only if you've got like a really democratic boss or democratic leader. But if you've got an autocratic guy, he'll probably just say, you, Cizwe, go do this. Michelle, go and get those reports and put them together, you know, type of thing like that. And yeah, man, I think the last one is just what I mentioned, is why they ask you those types of questions is to see if you can solve new and upcoming problems which you will not find answers to in a textbook. So yeah, I think that is about it, and we're about to round up. So definitely had a great time hanging out with you guys. And, you know, talking about some random things, stuff that we all go through, stuff that we all think about, you know, the stuff. I think we all think about, damn, man, I wish, like, you know, my girlfriend would actually just get down on one knee and marry and propose to me. You can't tell me no one has actually sat and thought about that. Yeah. So I think that's us. And I'm about to get out of here. Don't forget, the name is DJ Kume, the Beat Bully from the East, bringing you nothing but the freshest beats from the club to the streets. You can catch me on Twitter at DJ Kume SA, on Facebook at DJ Kume SA, and on Instagram. Yo, Instagram at DJ Kume _ SA. And definitely had an amazing time hanging out with you guys.
It's time for a WeChat workout. WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account, tap connect, then message to show.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
This is CliffCentral.com.